Thanks very much, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, January 16th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. A renowned academic says Zimbabwe will face a leadership crisis if President Robert Mugabe is incapacitated.
There will be really serious crisis in Zimbabwe in terms of leadership, including security services, which he has controlled and used.
A Zimbabwean politician says the current conflict in ZANU-PF, if not contained, may lead to civil strife in Zimbabwe. And as usual, we will take a closer look at women's issues. A renowned academic says Zimbabwe will face a leadership crisis if President Robert Mugabe is incapacitated. Professor Chatrik Kuto of the University of South Africa says his incapacitation will affect the security sector, judiciary and other institutions which have been under his firm control since independence. He speaks about this and how the crisis can be averted.
There will be really serious crisis in Zimbabwe in terms of leadership, including security services, which he has controlled and used. And from that point of view, I don't think it is something that we can say will not happen. It is not only the security service, but the judiciary, parliament, and everybody else, the judiciary and everything else will have serious crisis because he has prevented proper governance for all those institutions.
And do you see the country may be plunging into civil war if the factionalism in the party persists and something happens, you know, to the president?
I really hope and wish that there's no crisis and social conflict, violent conflict in the country. But it is likely that it might happen because he has caused conditions for that to happen. He has prevented any proper leadership succession plans. He has been able to make Zimbabwe more or less his fiefdom, where he thinks he owns Zimbabwe. Without him, there's no Zimbabwe. And when he goes under those conditions, there's bound to be a crisis. One just hopes that it doesn't become violent, because that will tear the country even further than what he has done to break down the country. What needs to be done is for Zimbabweans to wake up and say, Mugabe will go, he will go soon. What do we do in terms of leadership succession within ZANU-PF? But beyond that, what do we do to change the politics of the country so that ZANU-PF is not the dictatorship that it has become as Zimbabwe moves forward? Those are the critical questions which Zimbabweans must ask. And then thirdly, how do Zimbabweans, both in the diaspora and in the country, begin to rebuild the country? You need peace, reconciliation, you need justice, but how do you really fashion that? I think that's where Zimbabwe is at the moment.
That was Professor Chatrik Kuto of the University of South Africa speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg. Another academic and politician, Themba Dlodlo, shares the same sentiments, saying the current conflict in the ruling party, if not contained, may lead to civil strife in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent, Dawrai Shawa, reports.
Speaking at a conference to audit the country's devolution process in Bulawayo recently, Dr. Themba Dlodlo, a physics lecturer, said Zimbabwe is in a crisis as a result of the incompetence of a government in which too much power is vested in one person. Dr. Dlodlo, who is also a politician, asserted that Zimbabwe is under a dictatorship and its possible collapse as a result of the infighting within the ruling ZANU-PF party, as well as an insistent economic crisis, could result out in prolonged civil war, like what has happened in the aftermath of the collapse of totalitarian regimes in countries like the then Zaire, Somalia, Libya, and others. He said there is need for devolution of power and services in order to ensure that more people are involved in making decisions that directly affect them.
Whenever a dictatorship collapses, there follows a civil war.
reached for comment on Jojo's statement, Mpopo Mapelandaba, House of Assembly member Joseph Chuma, told Studio 7 over the phone that Zimbabweans are an educated and peace-loving people and would not engage in civil war. Chuma, who is also a ZANU-PF Central Committee member, said the factionalism in the ruling party is exaggerated, adding that some senior leaders who are reported to be jostling to succeed President Robert Mugabe have repeatedly stated their loyalty to both the party and the president. Chuma said the ZANU-PF government is committed to devolution as well as implementing all provisions of the new constitution and noted that lack of financial resources has been the major hindrance. Another ZANU-PF member, Freedom Murechu, told Studio 7 that contrary to perception, ZANU-PF is not against devolution.
Instead, it is the one which has been championing devolution since independence. You know, even if you look at the policies that the government has been implementing, from the land reform to now the indigenization, I've even done it even at local level at some point. That's the reason why I've got district land officers in almost every district. I think it's just that, you know, even during the constitution-making process, views which are being aired out by people during that time, you know, it's just that the concept of devolution itself has not been explained to the people well.
In a presentation on devolution and natural resource governance, one of the panelists at the conference, Gracious Maviza, said decentralization averts the possibility of conflict over natural resources as it helps locals to also get direct benefit from them. There has been concern by some locals over the mining of diamonds in Manicaland Province, Marange area, with many of them charging that they have not profited from the exercise. Citing an example of the war waged by Nigeria's Ogoni ethnic group against transnational oil companies in the Niger Delta, Maviza said, where locals do not enjoy any benefit from natural resources in their vicinity, there's bound to be conflict.
In relation to the issue of violent conflict, we're saying that with devolution, we are basically having a condemned local base or local populace where people are transparent about what is happening in terms of the proceeds and revenues from the natural resources that are there. And as a result, people are not going to take to violent conflict, but they are rather going to try and make sure that they are good stewards of the environment so that they can benefit more from the revenues that proceed from natural resources.
While acknowledging that devolution is important in governance and that government has been slow in implementing it as enshrined in the country's new constitution, lawyer and human rights advocate Teresa Mugadza said it would be wrong to single it out without pushing for the full implementation of the constitution as a whole. Mugadza said after the zeal shown during the constitution-making process, there now appears to be lethargy on the part of ordinary Zimbabweans and civic organizations in driving government to expedite the enactment of the constitution, adding that all citizens have a responsibility in making it a reality.
Devolution is important to the extent that we are talking about beginning to see a devolution of resources, of decision-making and citizen participation at the local level. That is very important. And what we have seen with delays in implementing the constitution is that there have also been delays in implementing devolution at the local and the regional levels. When you are operating and implementing at the local level, you have a closer relationship with the citizens, and citizens are able to see what administrative challenges or what administrative glitches exist in any system. So I do think that it's important to begin to talk about the need to accelerate implementation of the constitution broadly and specifically devolution.
Director Samkele Hadebe of the Public Policy Research Institute of Zimbabwe, a lawyer-based think tank which convened the devolution audit conference, said the main aim was to gather ideas on how the implementation of the concept can be accelerated and how it can be made operational to the satisfaction of the ordinary majority. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we have the pleasure of speaking to Ms. Pamela Katerere, who is a civil servant and works as a teacher in Harare. She will take us through her journey as she struggles to send her two children to school. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Katerere.
Thank you.
Ms. Katerere, tell us a little bit about yourself as a woman. What do you do? How are you coping day to day?
I'm a civil servant, I can say. I'm a teacher. I teach science at a secondary school in Harare, in Epworth. I've got two sons. Unfortunately, my husband just passed away, so it's myself and my two sons. And it's kind of tough here in Harare these days. If we look, like, for example, we had this festive season, and you know how it is. Now it's back to school. Things are very, very tough. I'm paying rent. I have to pay school fees. I have to buy uniforms. Actually, it's very tough. There are a lot of things that I cannot really talk about. It's very tough. As women, you know, women, we are the ones that are in the house and see the situation, how it is. We try our best, of course, as a woman. We always try our best, like finding a little bit here and there. We are surviving. That's how it is, but it's tough.
You've gone back to school. What are you studying?
I'm studying DEd. It's biology. It's like a Bachelor of Education, but I'm doing it in biology.
And what prompted you to go back to school? You say you have two children, and I'm sorry, you just said you lost your husband. But what prompted you to go to school?
You know, it's a competitive world. I'm teaching science, but you can see that I was teaching up to O level. For me to be able to teach up to A level, I have to have a degree, not a diploma that I was using. And also, I will become a bit marketable, you can say. Of course, the government also, they are actually pushing for people to get their degrees. But on my own, it was just like to improve myself so that I can be a bit marketable in my career. That was how, to be honest, that is what really pushed me on.
And you were talking about having two children and being on half salary. So how have you been able to cope to send them back to school?
It's very difficult. I have some help from a relative, of course, that paid for the school fees for the other child. And then I had to struggle. Trying to save is very difficult. Even my own school fees, because I'm also paying for my college studies now, and I'm owing my old school fees for last semester. This semester, I don't even know where I'm going to get. As a result, I'm going to get my results, but I'm supposed to go there. So you see how things are. You just live for the day, and then you hope that maybe something comes up. We just pray and hope something comes up. And it's very tough. It's very tough. And yes, the children, they need school fees. I have money to pay for the other, but the other I'm still to pay. You live by the day, struggle. And you miss some of the things that, like, you are supposed to have. You just budget. And the children, these days, they are understanding. They know how it is.
Which college are you going to? And have you seen also a lot of other women also going back to school?
Yes, I'm going to use it. That's the University of Zimbabwe. Yes, actually, there are more women now on this program that we have. Like, my class has got 8 students, and all 8 students, you know. Then the other classes, there are also more females now than males. We are actually a class of females, and our lecturer, one of them is a female, so we are really actually a class of females. But everyone is just talking of the same story. But you know, as women, we struggle, we endeavor, and we just carry on.
What's your wish as we move forward here in 2016? You're a civil servant. You have actually sacrificed to go on half pay so you can advance yourself as a woman. But what's your wish?
My wish is just if things would just improve economically in our country. If we improve economically, like the industries, if we had industries working well, economically things would improve. That's my wish, because if that happens, it means even myself as employed and all the other things, life would be a bit better.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Pamela Katerere, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Join me again next week when we look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. And finally, this evening, we are featuring Nkululeko Dube, the leader of Nkululeko Yabatsha School of Arts, or IASA. Now you've got that production, Ngapawam Gya Slava, Ngapawam Gya Tigiza. What were you really singing about there?
That's a song that, amazing enough, what happened was, it's a song that we first of all released in Europe when I was working with one director. I wrote the song basing it on games and you know, all these songs that we sang as young people and children when we were young in Zimbabwe. It began when one director asked me, why is it that most of these African people, if I may say, can dance? Actually, every African can at least shake a body. And why is it us as white people, we are said to be so stiff and we can't dance? Simply because in Africa, we do this from a tender age. As a little kid playing in the street, you're already singing, you're already dancing, you're playing games that actually orient you to being flexible. And my idea when I did the song was also to bring together generations. I mean, we always speak about the generation gap, where we are saying the older generation is staying behind and the new generation is growing apart, and our young ones are losing control or touch of where they come from. So Lapa Wamgia Saba is a song that actually brings together generations. I've never seen in my life people dance to a song from the little ones to the elder ones. And it's one song that has become so popular with the elder generation and particularly also with the young generation. And that's what excites me and I'm happy about.
And what is the meaning behind it?
Simple. The song talks about ukujayivasaqala singaka. You know, that means we started dancing when we were young. And then it also then gives renditions of games that young people and mostly now, or the older generation now, the songs that they were singing like at school, the games that they played like Lapawam Gashava, Sweetie, Ghost, That, the games that they played. It's just a fun song that shows and tells you a story of flexibility and the story of joy about Africa.
And we started with a group of about 15 or so. How many are you now?
Wow. In a year, we work with between 35 to 40 artists. That's the range. I mean, people come in and go. But recently, because we are celebrating our 15th anniversary, we tried to take stock of how many artists have come through our hands already. And it's amazing that we are almost above 60 artists plus that have come through our hands, some that are already in their own projects, some that are musicians in their own stage and dancers and in other projects, and some that are still with us. So, yeah, I think we have lived up to our name as a school of arts. Nyaulam lolo, nyaulam lolo, nyaulam lolo likanyana. Unyaulam lolo, nyaulam lolo.
Do you have any message for your fans?
Absolutely. I can just say to them, I wish them a better 2016. And to say we as EASA, I want to thank them for the continued support. I will always repeat one thing. There'll be no EASA without the people. It's a project that is a community project, and its survival actually belongs to them. Its survival is rooted in their support for whatever we do, and they've shown that for the past 15 years. So there's no going back. If this project fails after 15 years, we will blame it on them.
That was Nkululeko Dube of Nkululeko Yabatsha School of Arts, or EASA, speaking with Studio 7. Now to recap today's top stories. A renowned academic says Zimbabwe will face a leadership crisis if President Robert Mugabe is incapacitated. And a Zimbabwean politician also says the current conflict in ZANU-PF, if not contained, may lead to civil strife in Zimbabwe. That's our broadcast this evening. Good night, Zimbabwe.